Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our investigation of lies in our textbooks concerning the spread of Islam. Was it peaceful or was it by the sword? Listen once again to the lies as stated in the textbook.
From the textbook, World History, published by Thompson, Wadsworth, copyright 2004, on page 347, in a section entitled Reflection, it says that, while Islam sometimes followed the path of Arab warriors, they rarely imposed their religion by force on the local population. In some instances, as with the Mongols, the conquerors made no effort to convert others to their own religion. By contrast, Christian monks, motivated by missionary fervor, converted many of the people of Central and Eastern Europe.
Here we go. All the nonsense is taught to our students in our public schools that the religion of Islam was never spread by force, but on the other hand, Christianity was forced by Christians, monks, and others who traveled the world and converted people to Christianity. This is sick. When will the Christians wake up in this country to stop this propaganda lie about Islam in our textbooks? They are brainwashing our children. Don't you dare tell me that your children are well trained in the church. Don't you dare tell me that all the students in our public schools will figure out this lie. I guarantee you 80% of the students in our public school have no clue what Christianity is. And that is what they learn about Islam. They never been to church. They never have godly parents to lead them to Christ or to the truth of the gospel. And these students are brainwashed and infiltrated by this propaganda of Islam. Church, it's about time for you to rise up from your coma. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my dear fellow Christians, please check the books which your children are studying in our public schools. I'm not asking you to read all their books. I know that we are all busy here in America. But what is more important, when you spend 3 or 4 hours watching a football game or the future of your own sons and daughters? Here is what I want you to do. Open their history books, open their social study books, open their geography books and search in the back for the word Islam or the word Muslim. This will lead you to the pages where these books talk about Islam. And read all these pages which talk about Islam. Share this with other people in your community. Then go together to the school and ask those who are in charge to remove all these lies from our textbooks. Guys, this is evolution 101 again. You see, years ago, when they start teaching evolution in our public schools, they did not come boldly and teach it as they teach it today. This started as just a theory, a big picture of dinosaur with few words under it. Then later the picture of the dinosaur got smaller, and instead of you have 4 or 5 sentences below it, now you have 4 or 5 pages. And then more pages and more pages. Now we're teaching our children all over the public school that evolution is science. Evolution is a fact. And by the way, creation is a joke. It's a lie in the book of Genesis. If we continue to be ignorant about what Muslims are teaching our children in our public schools, this few sentences here and there, which you hear me talk about in this radio broadcast, will become books. And your children will totally be transformed to believe in Islam and reject Christianity simply because you, as the church, were in a coma. not sleeping, but in a coma, especially after September 11. America has been invaded with political correctness. Nobody can say bad words about Islam or Muslims, and the textbooks is now moving to teach the wonderful things about Islam and Muslims, and the church is in a coma. Love your children. Love your grandchildren. Do something about these lies which is taught in our public schools. Have you ever asked yourselves a question? Why Muslims are lying? Why Muslims are spreading this propaganda of loving peaceful Islam in America? It's very simple. Because if they did not tell these lies to the American people, that means the other voice, like my voice, is a voice of truth. If Muslim will tell you Islam is a loving, peaceful religion, but there is someone else who is telling you Islam is not a loving, peaceful religion, now you have to choose between A or B. But if everyone like myself in America tells the American people the truth that Islam is not a loving, peaceful religion, Islam spread by force because here is what the Quran teach, because here is what Muhammad command his people to do, because here is what Muslims have done in the last 1400 years. And in the same time, you will never hear any opposition to my teaching by Muslims. That will condemn Muslims for good. But they're so smart, they're speaking out loud enough, and they're repeating their lies, sadly, even in our textbooks for our children. And their voice is heard widely, more than people like myself. And that's why Islam still exists today in America. And the longer we will continue in this line, the case will be very dangerous for America. For Muslims will take over America. Well, let's move on with the rest of this lie in this textbook, for we read,
in some instances, as with the Mongols, the conquerors made no effort to convert others to their own religion. By contrast, Christian monks, motivated by missionary fervor, converted many of the people of Central and Eastern Europe.
Oh, bad them monks, telling people about Jesus that he loves them, that he died on the cross for their sins, and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. How terrible are all those Christians who literally lost their life to share the love of Jesus with people. They carry the Bible with them, ladies and gentlemen. They carry the good news with them as they travel from one country to another to fulfill the great commission of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, when Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, like love one another." God forbid. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "By this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you carry the sword and go and fight, force people into Christianity." No, if you love one another. The message of love is the message of those wonderful missionaries, monk or not, who told the world that Jesus loves them. He died on the cross for their sins and he rose again. And by believing in the name of Jesus, they will receive forgiveness for their sins and they will have eternal life. Is this a bad thing to do? Is that why the textbook is rejecting what the Christian did in Europe or anywhere else? Well, let's read the rest of Jesus' words in the Great Commission. For he said, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen and amen. That is the only mission God given to the church on planet Earth, to make disciples and to teach them the truth of the gospel. But for the liberal or the Muslim who is writing this passage to our student in our public schools, that is a no-no. That was a very bad thing to do. Why? Because now Christianity spread all over the world and people believe in Christianity before even Muhammad was born. That was not right. Even when we investigate the truth about how Christianity spread, it spread through law and through the teaching what the scripture teach to the converts. You see, brothers and sisters, we are really living in the last days. For we're teaching our children, everything good is bad, and everything bad is good. Christianity and the spread of Christianity was not a very good thing. But the spread of Islam in planet Earth, that is a wonderful thing. And we literally allowed these liberals and these Muslims to teach our children lies by telling them that Christians force their Christianity on others. But Muslims, on the other hand, never forced anybody to become Muslim. They give people the freedom to choose whatever religion they like. That's not my words. That's what the textbook said to our children. Listen to it again. Here it is. He said, Muslims never impose the religion by force on the local population.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Now let us listen about what the textbook said about the Mongols, which we name them in Arabic, Maghul. The conquerors made no effort to convert others to their own religions. Can you imagine that? So now, boys and girls, Christians are bad because they convert people to Christianity. But Muslims are wonderful. They're good because they never forced Islam, their religion, on anybody. Really? And the great example, the school textbooks, is given to our children about how that Muslims never forced anybody to accept Islam, which we find in the empire of the Mongols. Now, when you tell the student, Mongols, do you think our student has a clue where these people are? I doubt that our student knows the location of every state on our map. So if our students do not know the geography of their own country where they live, how in the world do we expect for them to know about another countries? So if our textbook uses these wonderful, good Muslim Mongols as an example of Islam to prove that the religion of Islam was never spread by force or by the sword, of course our student will believe it, especially when we know that our student don't have a clue who are the Mongols. Where are the Mongols? When did their empire exist? How big was their empire? What, in fact, was the religion of the Mongols? These are questions we should investigate before we use this people as a good example for how wonderful Muslims are. The Mongol Empire is huge. It's actually all the way from China to Turkey. As a matter of fact, when you look at the size by the square miles, it is 12,741,000 square miles. Compare this to the size of the United States of America, which is only 3,794,000 miles. That makes the Mongols' empire almost 3.5 times bigger than the United States of America. This empire lasted only 88 years. It began at 1206 and the empire was demolished in 1294. Now let us ask the most important question, which is, were the Mongols Muslims, as the textbooks try to emphasize to our students, for they're using them as a great example for a Muslim empire? Imagine with me, I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, Islam is a wonderful religion. And the great proof of that, the Christian who live in France never forced anybody to Islam. What Christian in France have to do with Muslims? If you want to talk about Islam, please do me a favor. Read to me what Allah said in the Quran and what Muhammad did in his life. That is Islam, not the Mongols who were not Muslims. Maybe our teachers in our public school need to learn about the Mongols before they teach our children lies about Islam through the Mongols. First of all, the Mongols were not Muslim, but there were actually 4 different beliefs were practiced in their empire. Islam is one of these 4 religions, which came later into the empire. The empire started and spread all over the land without the existence of Islam. And they were not a loving, peaceful invader, but in fact, they were very barbaric invaders, almost as it was in Islam. Within 80 years from the birth of the empire of the Mongols, they expanded from China all the way to Turkey. They took over Iraq, Iran, Syria, and Lebanon until they arrived to the country of Egypt. And there we have a battle which is known by Ain Jalut, where the Mongols lost and the Egyptian won. And that was the end of the Mongols around 1294. Then we know that the empire of Mongols was then broken into 4 kingdoms, and they are Zhuji, Jivtai, Oktai, Tulwi. But when we read the textbooks, we come to the conclusion that it was a Muslim empire. No, it was not, because there were 4 different beliefs within the empire, and they are Buddhism, and many of them change eventually to Christianity, and Manuiya, and many of them change to Islam. Now, when we talk about Islam, we know that the Mongols used to hire many of the Muslims to work for them, especially those who can speak the different languages, as the Turkish language and the Mongol language. And many of those who became Muslim, they followed the Sunni sect of Islam. The first leader of the Mongols, who later became a Muslim by the name Baraka Khan, and that was 1266, just 20 years before the empire of Mongols broke into 4 kingdoms. When Mahmud Ghazan, which is the first ruler Muslim over the Mongols, became a Muslim, he made the religion of Islam the official religion for his kingdom, and he encouraged his people to embrace the new religion, the religion of Islam. The west part of this kingdom accepts the religion of Islam. That is between 1330 to 1363. But the eastern side, which is in China today, has not accepted the religion of Islam. There was freedom of religion in the Mongol Empire. Not because Islam teaches that, no, because the people there were not Muslim, and the number of Muslims were not large number. And that is what causes and gives the Muslim the opportunity to take over a larger portion of the Mongol Empire before it was destroyed. Think about it. That is exactly what we're doing here in America. There is freedom of religion in America, and that's how Muslims will take over America unless we wake up and stop their invasion. I'm not saying that freedom of religion is not right, but sometimes because of freedoms, cults grow and flourish. Why the textbooks did not use Saudi Arabia kingdom to prove the point that Islam did not spread by the sword? Why the textbooks did not use Allah and His word on the Quran, or Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, and his teaching and his life to show us a good example and to prove that Islam did not spread by the sword? You know why? It's very simple. Allah in the Quran commands the Muslim to kill Christian and Jew and others, to force them into Islam. And the proof is very simple. Just read the Quran. And Muhammad in the Hadith, that is his own words, bragged about himself to be the warriors with the sword. Listen to his own words. For we read from Ibn Hassan, The Life of Muhammad, 3rd edition, part 6, volume 3, and on page 8, Muhammad said, I descended by Allah with the sword in my hand, and my wealth will come from the shadow of my sword, and the one who will disagree with me will be humiliated and persecuted. You see, Islam spread by the sword, for Allah's word said so, and Muhammad's word said so, and the action of the Muslim, as it has been seen in 57 Muslim countries in the world the last 1400 years, said so. Now we must ask ourselves the question, will we believe a lie written in a textbook, or should we believe what is written in the Quran, Allah's word, and the Hadith, Muhammad's word, and what has been practiced in the Muslim world the last 1400 years? To learn more about lies in our textbooks, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.